With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Rover's back for the first of a two-part Marvel Universe deep dive. Today, we're looking at episode 5 of Loki. My name is Justin Hamilton, and I hope someone can tell me more Throg, Frog of Thunder stories for Big Squid. Welcome to the first of our two-part Marvel Universe podcast. Rove and I have already recorded both parts, and you'll hear the first one today, which is doing a really fun deep dive into episode 5 of Loki. Wow, there was a lot going on in that episode, and it was batshit crazy, which is just how I like my Loki. Then we have the Black Widow podcast coming up, which will tie into this podcast, specifically with a theory that I didn't want to drop here in case you haven't seen the new movie yet. I was going to place the Black Widow chat at the end of this podcast, but I know you're busy. I know you're doing things. And then if you kind of, I don't know, lose focus while you're doing something else and you're listening to the podcast, and then suddenly you realize you've hit the bit that you don't want to listen to yet because you haven't seen the movie, and then I've ruined the film, and I don't want to be that person for you. So I split them up, put them on two separate podcasts so you can't make that mistake and hold it against me. So I'm releasing this podcast on the 10th of July and the Black Widow podcast on Monday, which will be the 12th, to give you plenty of time to watch it on the Disney app or at the cinema, depending on where you are in the world at this moment. There's plenty to get into here today, so let's stop mucking around and discuss Loki.
No one bad is ever truly bad. And no one good is ever truly good.
I believe, stupidly, you can be whatever you want to be, even someone good.
I have an exciting theory for you that I can't ask here because that's going to be a part of the podcast with Black Widow. So I'm doing a forward sell on the Black Widow podcast because there's a theory that ties in to this. It's a little forward sell. If I learned something from radio, that's what I'm trying to say.
You can I learned to get out. That was what I learned from radio. So you could say that this little idea of yours is sitting in the void, Hammo. It's at the end of this timeline, if you will.
Yes, getting its fingers and rubbing them together with happiness. But my first question to you...
That turned icky really quickly.
Well, they're not like tapping, maybe not rubbing. Yeah.
Fingers and rubbing. Let's.
I've got my finger up my ass and I'm excited.
I'm just pushing against the perineum and
It's nothing strange.
Slipping some hemorrhoids back in in thrill.
Yeah, this is how I spend a Saturday afternoon in lockdown. So, but my big question to you is, how badly do you want another season of Loki, but it just follows Richard E. Grant, Kid Loki, and the alligator on adventures?
Okay, this might be a controversial take early. I would watch that show if Kid Loki gets killed off very quickly.
They haven't nailed Kid Loki for me.
Look, I'll come in first with some very positive stuff. Richard E. Grant as classic Loki, as we mentioned last week, just so give him that show. It's his. He's taken it. He put it in a bag. He's walked away with it. It is now his. He owns it. I know Tom Hiddleston is the Loki we all know and love. This series is based around him. But with one episode, Richard E. Grant went, no, this show is mine. He's urinated all over it. It's got his funk and his smell and his musk. It is his. Alligator Loki is my new favorite MCU character of all time. So I'll get that to one side because we'll come back to those two, no doubt.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get into Kid Loki. And, man, I don't want to be throwing shade on a young man's desire to become an actor, but I just don't think the young gentleman playing the role was great, and I couldn't get over it because I thought, you've got so many options. You're not after a look. You're not after someone who needs to look like a young Tom Hiddleston or anybody else. You've got plenty of options to audition. Was he the best? Because some of his lines and delivery and things just wasn't strong enough for me. And granted, he's surrounded by great actors, but the girl who played young Sylvie last episode, who's also been seen on shows like the Walking Dead, is where I know her from.
Right.
She plays young Judith and is amazing. She's great. She only had one small scene, but she was great. But yeah, I couldn't. And Boastful Loki, the actor again, was a bit borderline for me. But his character wasn't really, unfortunately, given as much as maybe everyone would have hoped, having seen him revealed last week. But yeah, Kid Loki, he's my Hawkeye. I'll be like halfway through the season just going, oh, that's right, you're here too. Do you want to be written out for an episode or a couple of films?
Yeah.
We'll get by. We'll be fine. Oh, no, you just stay there. Yeah, didn't quite buy it. But yes, Alligator Loki and Classic Loki, I'm all in.
I'm a bit frustrated with Kid Loki because in the comics, and there's a comic called Siege, and in that there is the Void. And in the comics, the Void is a dark and inexplicable evil entity that is the dark side of the hero, the Sentry. And in Siege...
That sounds like commercial radio. That's commercial radio.
Yeah, absolutely. It all comes out when I least expect it. But the Void murders Loki in the comic, and that's how he's reborn as Kid Loki. And in the comic, Kid Loki is great because it's the nature versus nurture storyline with that character, and it's Thor, everyone in Asgard going, get rid of that kid, and Thor going, no, but if we bring him up well, maybe he'll be a better person, and it's him trying to be better but kind of against it, knowing what his future holds. And it's a little bit similar in regards to the storyline that the Tom Hiddleston Loki is going through. And, you know, that one killed Thor was like, oh, well, I think you just, in one line, made him a little less interesting.
And also, part of me was like, well, I don't buy it. I don't believe that you did. Maybe if it was the frog version that I'm sure you'll come around to. Yeah. But it was unfortunate. Not that much like Boastful Loki, the character wasn't given a whole lot to do. But even like him sitting on the throne and stuff like that, the idea that it's Kid Loki's void and the rest of us are all just living in it, I couldn't attach myself to that. It just he just didn't have. I don't know, he was just lacking a little bit of something in the performance that made me able to connect with that, unfortunately.
Whereas, you know, Richard E. Grant's Loki or Kirby Loki, like, obviously more powerful than ever and so fantastic. I would just give me more of him.
But even like his first line was just Loki wanting to know what's going on, where are we, what's happening, and he just quickly says, "This is the void. That's Eliath. Come on." And you're like, "Great, I'm in. Whatever you need me to do, I'm there." You are the most ridiculously dressed of what looks like an explosion in a Halloween shop, and you know. When there's a small child with a crown with wings on and someone else who is an actual alligator with a little novelty pair of horns on your head, yet you are the most ridiculously dressed person here, but the one that I will follow and I will do whatever you say. He, to me, felt like the leader of the group, but just, I mean, he brought so much depth and humor. Even like the fact that he was the translator for Alligator Loki when he was like, "Oh, that's there's a sound from Alligator Loki is boastful Loki telling his story about taking out all the Avengers."
Yeah.
And classic Loki turns and he says, "Oh, that's alligator for growling," which is a funny line anyway. And he says, "Oh, and also for liar."
Yeah.
Was just, like all of it just great. And the whole time it's in this wonderful, ridiculous costume of his.
Yeah, and he also managed to hide from Thanos by pretending to be debris.
Inanimate debris, specifically inanimate debris. None of that debris that's floating around.
Yeah.
Which would be which was interesting to think, oh, okay, so is it suggesting that the Loki that we saw die at Thanos' hand, was that a similar – is there any possibility at all that it was a similar sort of conjuring idea?
Right.
That maybe the Loki that we saw die wasn't Loki. It was just another illusion, which is a nice thought to have and a question that I'll come around to later on. But I really, really also liked the idea that, again, classic Loki, the old school guys, the one like, what are you doing with swords? Why do we, swords are just.
Yeah.
You know, you young people today with your weapons, magic, old school power, that's the way to do it. And it's a great point that, you know, the amount of times Loki, even when he has magic, our Loki is using it to create a harness on his back to put the little sword that Kid Loki gave him.
Yeah.
So he's got a little sheath for it. When you go, if you're doing that, forget, you know, sheaths and piddly little tablecloth blankets that don't keep you warm, apparently.
Yeah.
Conjure up something amazing that can take out a life, perhaps. It was a really wonderful thing just to sort of shut down any fans or new viewers to this world who'd be going, well, if you can just, why don't you just use magic? Just magic your way out of everything. If you're Loki, just use your magic. It was a really nice way of making a nod to that, I thought.
Yeah, it felt like Tom Hardy needed to come along and say, "You need to dream a little larger, darling."
Yes, exactly. But he was great. And even when Loki, and whenever I say Loki without any kind of prefix beforehand, you know, I mean the Tom Hiddleston one, I hope. That, yeah. So Loki's talking about, he's saying, "Hey, did any of you guys, have any of you guys met a female Loki?" And it was the classic Loki character that gave this shudder and went, "Oh, sounds terrifying."
Yeah.
Just little things like that just tickled me the whole way, let alone this wonderful redemption arc he had. You know, you hear this really gutting story of how, you know, he almost cowardly, you could argue, when our Loki has stood up to Thanos and it was to his own detriment, there he is, you know, having his windpipe crushed. And yet the classic Loki went, well, I'll just create a version of myself while I hide.
Yeah.
And when you got to think, you know, this is also the end of post-Ragnarok Loki, which has had a little bit of a redemption arc anyway. And so this idea that this classic Loki character is hidden, but then just gone off and sat on a planet by himself until he got lonely.
Oh, yeah, that's brutal.
And then he started thinking, oh, geez, I wonder if anybody misses me because I miss them, especially my brother. And what a really telling thing for any character, but the Loki character to put it out there. And then that's when he sticks his head up and then the TVA catches him. It was such a really sad story. And then him saying, oh, we're all useless and we're really just the god of outcasts.
Yeah.
As he sips another goblet of wine, and yet there he is at the end, the hero saving the day. I thought it was a wonderful little story arc for him encapsulated in one episode.
And not just a goblet of wine that's come out of a Roxanne cast. So, you know, it's, yeah, like, it's brutal.
Is it like Aldi wine? Is this the version? You must be drinking a cask of wine from Aldi. And let's also point out that there's alligator Loki getting into that stuff in his little paddle pool. I don't know how much of that he's drinking is water, wine, and potentially his own piss. But, man, that's a life to be living.
Yeah, he's nailing it. poor Richard E. Grant's Kirby Loki feels like, thank goodness he's not here for lockdown. He'd be ringing a lot of people. He'd be texting.
Still in the outfit too. Like
still in the outfit.
Wearing the horns.
Yeah.
Still wearing the cape that's like way too big.
Yeah.
all of that. Just, you know, still hanging in there, even though he's long since given it up.
Yeah.
And yeah, even to the point where he says that that they're broken. Every version of Loki is broken forever. It just sort of shows you this man who's just at the point of having given up. You go, yeah, I don't know if he could handle lockdown all that well.
Yeah,
no matter how many great series there are to binge, or, you know, you say get into online gaming, you can meet some lovely people.
Yeah.
You know, you can chat online to people and then, you know, shoot them if you don't like them.
Yeah, that would probably.
If you're not feeling so violent, just play them in a kart racing game or something. It's all right. There's things to do. There's nice people.
I was rapt that this episode gave Sophia Di Martino Sylvie extra to do. Like, I felt like she got some new kind of beats to kind of perform. So I feel locked in with the character now. It's been a slow burn for me, but. Did anyone notice the smooth moves by Loki to make a cloak to cuddle up when they're both the children of Laufey, the frost giant? Like, they don't feel the cold.
Yeah.
Is this is Hiddleston's Loki been to the drive-in and learnt that trick?
Because I had the same thought when his blanket came out. I was like, that does not look like it's going to be keeping you warm. You know, just something with a bit more lamb's wool that breathes as well would be a nice idea.
Come
and
on,
then
mate.
When she refers to it as like, is this a tablecloth? I was like, that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And after last week mentioning how I had suspicions of, well, maybe Sylvie's your big bad. I thought it interesting. Very much now I thought, oh, okay, she's not. I don't think I need to be keeping that idea. I think if there was a heel turn, to use wrestling parlance, that she suddenly turns bad on our Loki. I think she was even saying, oh, can I trust you? Are you gonna turn on me in the end here?
Yeah.
I don't think that was foreshadowing. I think it was something that's just, again, them bonding. Because I think if either of them were to turn on the other at this point, I don't think that would be satisfying for any of us. It would be like the Mother of Dragons at the end of Game of Thrones. It's not a spoiler if you haven't seen it. Well, congratulations. You saved yourself one of the biggest disappointments in television history.
Oh, my God.
Just, you know, a villainous turn that you don't see coming and don't want coming.
Yeah.
So I don't think that would happen at this point. But it did have me questioning. I was probably going to get to this later, but I suppose now's the time. Do both our Lokis, being the Sylvie version and the OG version, do they both make it out of this at the end? And more importantly, when they're talking about, oh, so what are you going to do when all this is over? Are you going to find a timeline to rule? Do you expect, and is it important that the original Loki has to end up back in his timeline?
All right. So that is a really good question. And I want to get to that. I just want to back up with one question before. Because then I want to get into that, because I think that's a really good question. I've been thinking about that a lot. So just let's, before we do that, what a guessing game of who the big bad is, right? So I've got three names for you. So let's dig that into that and So is it still Kang the Conqueror or Immortus? Because, you know, when we saw that castle, it looks kind of a little bit like Chronopolis, which is where Immortus lives.
Could be Doom, Dr. Doom's castle, but again...
That's my second guess.
I feel in both those cases, we've been mentioning it a little bit over the last few weeks, I feel it's late in the game to suddenly throw in an A-list big bad.
Yeah.
Out
so
of
do
nowhere
I.
When there's been no hint of it. I mean, it could be, you know, the Renslayer character suddenly pulls off her mask and says it was me all along.
Yeah.
But even then you would have to say, but then who are you?
Yeah.
I mean, we could always find out that there is a Kang, let's say.
Yeah.
Who's there at the end and we don't know who that is specifically, but obviously he will be coming back in some of the future films, so it's maybe just a carrot to dangle if you want to see how or who this character is and what happens next, then go see Ant-Man and the Wasp. But otherwise I feel like that's a big swing.
I
don't doubt that if that's what they wanted to do, they can pull it off. We had a lot in this episode and last week as well, so it's possible, but I don't think that's where they're going.
So I don't disagree with that at all. I feel like this is going to be another version of Loki, and I reckon if it is going to be Kang will turn up a little bit like the after-credit scenes of the Avengers. So maybe this version of Loki has been working with Kang.
Yes.
And so, you know, the story finishes and then you just get that little taste at the end that lets you go, oh, now I'm going to have to see Ant-Man and Wasp. To bring him in, as you said, to bring in Dr. Doom, like I kind of like the idea because he owns a castle. Maybe he's been living here and maybe this explains why the Fantastic Four haven't been around for decades. But it's really late in the game and it would feel a little bit like it's come out of left field. The Kang the Conqueror, there's heaps of evidence, which we'll talk about later, lots of Easter eggs that refer to him, so it feels like an after-credit scene. But this gets back to your original question about if this is a version of Loki. So what happens if we end up with a version of Loki who in, you know, in the universe that Kid Loki killed Thor and ended up, maybe this one is a new king. Like there's a King Loki, one who actually, because we keep hearing that Loki's always lose, but in a multiverse where anything can happen, couldn't we have a Loki that defies the odds, lives, and ends up being a powerful ruler? And then what we could do is have a second season that doesn't need a Thor or an Odin, but we bring back Sif and the Warriors 3 and Heimdall, and we could make it a Game of Thrones-style Marvel series with it always in the back of Loki's mind that he might have to return to have his neck snapped. And that's why he's trying to keep the timeline sacred.
Well,
because this is the one where he wins. This is the opposite of Doctor Strange.
Ah, well, look, we have been saying that whoever is trying to keep this timeline pure, it's because it serves their benefit in the long run. This is their one out of a million timeline where they end up with all of the toys at the end. So for it to be a Loki, and again, the Loki that we know and love is quite villainous and murderous and cold-hearted and untrustworthy and not really capable of love and empathy and everything else that we've grown to love with the version that we know. It would make sense that there is that one at the end controlling all the timelines and pruning any and all versions of him. Because they're now at this point, here we are in the void. There's a lot of things being dumped in there. But the one thing that I came away from the episode having a think about was, yeah, but we're all Lokis. Someone mentioned to me the idea of, well, it was Mobius one of them in disguise because, you know, here's the big lineup and you go, it's Loki. There's a Loki. There's a Loki. There's a Loki. There's a Loki. And there's Mobius. But I don't buy into that idea.
You don't want beach bum Loki?
Beach bum Loki, sure. There's a reason why it's all the Lokis that are being pruned. We've seen lots of characters coming into the TVA. When Loki first arrived, there was a guy. When Sylvie first arrived, there was a guy. I'm trying not to make my brain force myself to think it was the same guy both times.
Right.
That there's like a decoy person that gets dragged in whenever a Loki gets dragged in to go, it's not just you. Oh, we've got other people as well. Oh, this one just happens to have a hat. But no, he doesn't look the same as the other guy. The other guy didn't have a hat. So how could it be the same guy? No, heaps. We're bringing in heaps of people, not just Lokis. But if we're in the void and it seems to be full of Lokis, it suggests someone wants all the Lokis taken out of the playing field. And who would want that more than the one Loki who wants it all to himself?
Yeah.
So I'm beginning to think that, yes, that's where we sit at the end here. And he could be the guard dog of the guard dog. You could find out that it was Loki all along, but he was being manipulated somewhat or has done a deal with Kang, and we can always find that as well.
Yeah.
So, and the same thing with the Agnes reveal, you can still have a big boss, but it's maybe not the big boss that will come later. So I'd be happy with that, and I think it would make sense.
How's this for a mind-blowing ending? We find out that King Loki is the Tom Hiddleston Loki that we followed, the OG Loki, and they're in this place that's beyond time and space where he lives and he rules everything and everything's worked out for him. And he remembers this moment before, the King Loki remembers this moment, and in this moment he kills Sylvie to make sure that timeline progresses. But Loki rebels and goes back to when he gets his next snap, so this Loki can't exist, and now we're just left with a Sylvie, who is the new Loki as this kind of dark anti-hero who feels like she's always pushing against her nature that she's seen even play out in the best of the versions of her as a new character in the MCU.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Hopefully she'll get a new outfit, because apparently the one she's wearing now is quite uncomfortable.
That's what I read.
Taking a long time to work that out. You know what? This isn't conducive to running around in different timelines trying to stop versions of myself from existing. Yeah. Something more, maybe some active wear, something a bit more loose fitting, some track pants or something, a comfy hoodie perhaps. I think that's a real possibility. Because again, Sylvie was taken when she was just a kid. According to her, she didn't do anything wrong. So that could make sense. It would make for a really lovely final episode too, where suddenly Sylvie's questioning the Loki that she's with. Well, were you in on this all along or not?
Yeah.
And how, you know, was the idea that they would always get to the end anyway, and at the big reveal? Because she, you know, it was a brave move by her to prune herself. So my thing that I'm still coming back to is the Renslayer character, so Ravonna, she's obviously had been protective of the timekeepers. She was trying to stall to try to catch Sylvie. So she too could, in some respects, be, you know, somewhat connected with the other end. Because she said, and Miss Minutes, let's put her back on the table. Yeah. She's in on it. She was the one who was stalling when they were going, she was going through the files, when it was Miss Minutes who suggested, oh, what about the Void spacecraft? We could get that. Hey, oh, yeah, we've got that really awesome spacecraft thing. Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah.
We should get that. It's right at the back. It's really hard to find any second. Now, I'm not really stalling for time. So that was her idea. So she's obviously sentient enough to be able to plot and scheme and stall for time while the other hunters, the other Minutemen, arrived to grab Sylvie. And then also later on, when they were in the corridor and Renslayer said to Miss Minutes, I need all the history that we have on the timekeepers and the TVA. And Miss Minutes says, oh, that's a very tall order. And Renslayer says, well, I need to warn whoever created this place that they are in danger. And that's when Miss Minutes says, oh, I'm on it. Like suddenly, okay, well, if this affects my bosses, well, then suddenly I can make this happen. And then there's a little smirk from Renslayer as Miss Minutes leaves. So you sit there going, okay, Mobius is back. He's got his temp pad, so he's back, presumably. So back at the TVA, it's now him and Renslayer. Will they be side by side? Is Renslayer about to turn out to be the biggest inside job since, I don't know, Severus Snape and Harry Potter? I don't know.
Right.
But there's you know, this whole time where we're like, nah, she's still bad, she's still bad. Oh, I knew you couldn't trust her, Sylvie. What were you doing when she said, do you trust me? My God, don't give her the temp pad. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Turns out maybe this whole time she too, like Mobius, is going to bring this thing down from the inside. I'm really interested to know. But Miss Minutes is definitely knowing more than she's letting on. I don't think she's the big bad, but I'm very, very interested not only with what is to come beyond the void, but what's still to come back at the TVA as well.
Yeah, I'm not trusting Ravonna at all. I don't think she's been duped. I wasn't buying any of that. I felt like she was just playing along until she got a position that worked in her favor. I've really enjoyed that character too because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and she commanded her scenes this episode
too.
I was really, really excited with all that was revealed, and I was glad that she didn't suddenly turn good guy so quickly, because that wouldn't have made sense to me.
Yeah. Well, we've got that with Mobius. So, we don't need it with her as well.
So what's interesting now is like, okay, well, we know with Mobius coming back, it's like his character's almost had this quasi-religious experience of I believe in this greater power, this higher being beings that are in charge of everything, and we just trust that it is what it is. And part of having faith is believing when there's not necessarily any proof. Here he is. He's essentially crossed over to the great beyond, and now he's about to come back. Like if you've had a near death or come back from the afterlife experience, like he's probably the most powerful guy left in the show at this point.
Right.
If he goes back to the TVA, he's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Fucking prune me. You know what's that? A big purple fucking angry cloud dog, skeleton dog face thing.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a crocodile with a hat. That's what I know lies beyond. Prune me again, and I'll just go have cast quine with an alligator with a fucking party hat on.
Yeah.
and what, you think I'm lying? Well, I've been there, mate. Do your worst.
Yeah.
I was driving a pizza truck.
Yeah.
So him back now with an axe to grind at the TVA is a really interesting character. I don't think that was our goodbye. I think we get to see what happens there as well. There's still a lot to be cleaned up in the TVA itself, and I really look forward to him coming back and just setting the place alight and how he does it.
Yeah, and I kind of bought the moment where they hugged it out as well. Like, even though there is a part of you that thinks, feels a bit early for a bit of a hug, I feel like the acting's been so superb between the two of them. And that's I would have been quite happy with a couple of extra episodes to watch them hang out a little bit more before we got to that, because they've been great.
Well, in their timeline, you think, has it been 3 days, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, how... Like in their time, it hasn't been, it's been 5, nearly 6 weeks for us.
Yeah.
We can believe that. But for their time, I'm going, I think it's maybe only been like 2 days, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it does feel like
maybe
lockdown
they don't
time.
Know themselves, you know.
I had someone get in touch with me that I was like, oh, yeah, sorry, I was going to return your call, and then looked and was like, the last time they'd contacted me, it was like 4 months ago. I was like, oh, sorry, that honestly felt like a week ago.
Yeah, who didn't make good friends with a pot plant while they're in lockdown? We've all had it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So lots of Easter eggs. Some are interesting to dig into. Some are, a little bit whatever. But I love that this episode was called Journey into Mystery, which for people who may not know, is the name of the comic that Thor first appeared in back in 1962, when the lame physician Donald Blake found a stick and thought, I'll smack it against the wall. I'm Thor.
Why not?
It's made every stick I've picked up really disappointing ever since. this is interesting. There is a shot of Stark Tower, but it is named Keng, I think. Q-E-N-G. This is a reference.
Q-E-N-G.
Yeah. And this is a reference to an Avengers comic where Kang enterprises by the tower from Stark, and that's revealed that Kang is in charge of the company. I kind of feel like that fits in with our theory. He'll be an after-credits cameo.
Yeah, and I think sometimes there's little nods to things, you know, like Frog Thor again. That was another one of the little Easter eggs things. In the jar with T365 on it, which is the issue number of Thor that character appeared in. Done in that really wonderful Simpsons way, like the Simpsons.
Yes.
That now stylized almost trope that the Simpsons do, where they pan across a building from one room to another. And like, I think even in the school in Springfield Elementary or in the Simpsons house. And as it pans through, it goes through a wall and you see there's buried treasure in there or something, or it'll pan down through the ground and you'll just see someone who's digging their way to freedom or something and just missed out on coming out to the surface. It was a very Simpsons-esque joke, that sort of pan down and the Mjolnir, and then there's little, Frog Thor. I didn't realize that's what it was initially in the jar. I had to go back a couple of times, and then the internet let me know what was going on. Nods like that are like, we're not going to say that we're going to have a whole episode around that character, but there was quite clearly a lot of fan service here. Now, whether the Kang thing is to just satiate that theory from people, or whether it is just planting of the seed, we'll never really know. Although, of course, Kang has been announced as coming as a character, but whether it's in this series or not, I guess is still to be revealed.
Throg is such a funny character. I was reading Walt Simonson's run on Thor when Throg came about, and so that was that was 3 issues, and that was back when they came out monthly, and it was like there's the issue where he finally picks up Mjolnir and he's, the massive frog with all of the powers. And it was such a funny, run.
And it sounds as ridiculous as it is until you think, who wouldn't say that Alligator Loki was one of their favorite characters to date? Man, the fact that they pulled that off. I was wondering last week whether we would hear him, whether he would talk.
Yeah.
And
this was better.
And I was so pleased when he didn't. There was a scene when I think it was Boastful Loki saying, Loki says, I'll get the tempad and we can just zap our way back out of here. And Boastful Loki says, oh, yeah, because they're all just lying around in this universe, aren't they, guys? The most important thing that could free us. Of course, they're just lying around. And they all say, so, ha-ha-ha from him. There's a big ha-ha-ha from Kid Loki and a massive ha-ha-ha from Classic Loki. And then they just cut to Alligator Loki, whose little one of his two sets of eyelids that they have just goes across his eyes. And they there's a couple of times where they did that, where they just cut to him. Like, they get everyone's reaction and they cut to him and he just swallows or blinks. And it was brilliant comic timing. I just loved it. But, look, maybe there's a series in him and Frog Thor going toe-to-toe.
You know, that's, we've seen the trailer for the What If series. So you can do it as a cartoon. Like, now, do some ones that kind of get the idea of What If up and running, and then in your second season, that's when you go crazy and you go Throg versus Loki Alligator,
Well, that's the amazing part of all this at the moment is because I was thinking, that would be a good thing they could do now that they know how popular this character was. But then you realize, well, the What If series has been done well before. Animation takes so long to get done. So, of course, that's already been done. You just forget. And same thing with this, you go, oh, well, maybe the Kang nod is to help just calm all those people who have been just Kang, Kang, Kang since day one. But you forget, no, this has been done. This has been shot and edited a long time ago, last year. This is nothing to do with the week to week. They're not making this on a weekly basis for our benefit that they chop and change to please our whims and our theories. They didn't just go, let's dump a whole bunch of fan wank into the penultimate episode for all those people who've been theorizing all week. They knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So the big thing is, like, the reveal for whoever or whatever it is for next week has already happened. It's already been shot. It's already been through 1,000 edit suites and color grading laptops and whatever else. That I love the fact that I certainly at an early glance of stuff when I go looking, not for spoilers, but just, you know, just to sort of see if there's anything I missed in the episode, I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard any big spoilers. So I'm actually quite pleased by that.
Oh,
it
yeah.
still feels like it's a surprise for whatever it is. It's there and it's waiting for us. It's really exciting.
Yeah, it might be Boner from WandaVision. Turns out he was Kang all along. So Alioth is a real character from the comics. He's more sentient in the, you know, the Marvel comics, and Kang created a barrier.
Yeah, and not as well realized. He really is just a cloud with a face. So, I liked the way he was kind of represented here with that sort of skull face coming out.
It felt like there was some Lost references in this episode as well, because Alioth looked and sounded a lot like Smokey.
Hatch?
No, because he sounds like Smokey.
Right.
He's got the same clicking thing.
Look.
And the hatch.
Look, there was a you and I talked about it after the fact last week. I didn't want to bring it up at the time. Because it's one of my least favorite sort of tropes is the what you can't see on camera.
Oh yes,
is outside the field of vision of the character. Outside of the field of vision of the viewer is endowed upon the character as well. And the example I use is The Walking Dead, the show about zombies that is. Renowned for someone creeping through somewhere, a forest or an abandoned building, and it's tight in on their faces, and they just go to round a corner, and then there's a zombie there that's been hiding quietly.
Yeah.
It suddenly springs to life. When that's not what zombies do as set up by this show, they lumber and they stagger around and they're hissing and growling the whole time. So used as one of those tropes of just scaring you is this idea that it's just around the corner and this character couldn't see. My one last week was the Renslayer character before she prunes Loki, sneaks up behind him, the idea that Sylvie would have missed that because she was too busy looking at him. This week, I couldn't let it go. After last week, I was like, okay, that's all right. But this week, like, he opens the hatch, he looks around like, that's interesting, and then looks up, and then he's like, oh, there's another version of me with a whole bunch of an evil horde around him. Like, no, as soon as you open that hatch, there's no, oh, there's the lovely sky in it. Oh, hello, I didn't see you there.
Yeah.
Throng of would-be assassins.
Yeah.
So that was one of those little things. I was like, oh, I don't like it when directors do that. That's just one of those things for me. But, so that reveal was interesting. I loved the way... Of all the Lokis we have seen, and I never really knew if it was an alternate timeline Loki or not in the trailer, but this President Loki, some people thought it could be, you know, he was a mayor maybe because he's got the vote Loki, which, again, a nod to there was an actual comic book based on that.
From 2016.
He was in the trailer, obviously, so he was one of those characters everybody's waiting for. And what I loved is that one of the big giveaways that Marvel and Disney Plus have given for this series was a character that was really quite inconsequential. And he kind of came in with all this pomp and circumstance and then was kind of gone in a heartbeat when Alligator Loki took his hand off and he started screaming like a small child. I loved all of that.
Yeah.
I loved it. I love that they've gone, you know what, you can have that. You know why? Because he's unimportant. Fantastic. Yeah.
And another reference that Marvel likes to do, it's like the shout-out they do to Star Wars because they've been having characters losing hands in so many of their movies and their TV shows. It's a funny little shout-out to Star Wars all the time. The arcade
it just reinforces little alligator Loki being such a badass too.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, every time you saw him,
he was
tearing people apart. Yes.
He will take your hand and then eat your cat.
Doesn't have
by
a problem.
Accident. Could be the wrong cat, wrong neighbor's cat.
Yeah.
But he'll do it, mate.
He doesn't care if he branches out.
Half drunk on his half drunk on a shandy of box wine and his own piss.
Yeah. I'm not messing with that guy. The arcade cabinet behind Loki is Polybius, which isn't a real game. It comes from a very real urban legend that surfaced in the early 2000s about a video game invented by the government as psychoactive experiments that ran through the 1980s. It was meant to be in Portland somewhere. How would you hide your secret experiments? Like setting them up as an urban legend. Like if you wanted to do some secret experiments and saying it's an urban legend, it's a smart move, right?
This is one of those ones. I heard this on a podcast years ago, the story of this apparent, you know, haunted or government mind control video game. So it was only ever apparently in one arcade, like you said, in Portland.
Yeah.
And any kids who, like, I think it was like the 80s or something. And any kid who played it, it was so addictive that you had to go back and play it again and play it again. And it was causing fights between kids because they wanted every time they played it, they just wanted to play it again and they wouldn't wait. And it was, you know, and if you ever played it, you'll be addicted to this game for life. And it was only ever in this one shop, very spooky. And the story being that it was the government testing mind control through this arcade game.
Yeah.
So it was a wonderful story. You know, I think it's long been since debunked anyway. But the fact that there was that, we had the USS Eldridge, which is the famous Philadelphia experiment, this naval ship that apparently was made invisible by the government.
Yeah.
And again, being completely debunked.
That's a conspiracy theory from the 50s.
Yeah. The crashed flying saucer, I was hoping would be a little bit of a Roswell nod as well.
Right.
And don't forget, we had D.B. Cooper, Loki is D.B. Cooper, back in episode one.
Yeah,
so this idea of all these kind of myths and legends and stuff being rolled up in the Loki universe, I thought has been something for me that's been really cool. It's a wonderful little idea by the writers to go, hey, why don't we take all these little things and say that they've all been taken out because that's why that they're weird urban myths or something is because they got yanked out of timelines and put in the void or whatever their explanation for it is. But what a wonderful little device to have. I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and, it's been tasty.
Polybius game was a real highlight.
Yeah, that was a highlight for me as well. That's such a tasty urban legend when you first hear about it. Worth looking into. And so was the Philadelphia experiment. That's a fun one to dig into when you have more time. The Thanos copter is a real thing in the comics.
Yes, of course.
It comes from a story in Spidey Super Stories, which is aimed at younger children. I think goes up against Hellcat trying to get the cosmic cube, and a kid gets it and makes ice cream. So that shows you how important Thanos copter is.
It was nice to see, and the fact he did have one, like it looks really cheesy, but you know, not as cheesy as, like, honestly, go look it up because it looks exactly like that helicopter.
Yeah.
It does have his name on it and he's hanging out of it. You think Batman's got his Batmobile and Wonder Woman's got her invisible jet, but Thanos had a helicopter with his name on it, guys. That's, you know, they weren't all cool all the time. It wasn't always post-2000 superheroes.
Oh, man. It's funny because and it's also just that weirdness of saying, the Thanos copter existed, but it existed in a comic that was for kids as opposed to those comics that are for grown-ups.
I love seeing what looked like the head of the Living Tribunal as well, which is kind of a bit of a – for me, this is like the Kang thing. This is one of those things that I think is there to go. We're referencing this character who is kind of like a timekeeper type character.
Yeah.
For those who don't know the history of it. So the idea that, this, you know, controller of all things, time and space and everything else.
Well, he safeguards the multiverse in the comics. That's his job.
So this, it looks like a statue of the head.
Yeah.
As the... Eliath Cloud was coming through at one point. I think was their way of saying we're putting this out there as a we are acknowledging this character as so you guys don't have to worry about it coming up at the end. We've ticked that box. That's not on the table for a potential big bad at the end of this. But we are referencing. Yeah, we we acknowledge that this character is around. I thought that was a really cool one as well.
Yeah, that was a great one. It was, and the Yellow Jacket's helmet from Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Which there's been the suggestion that maybe the quantum world, the void, the cosmic timeline are all one and the same. So that's an interesting, you know.
It's also a little bit of what props have we got lying around from some of the movies that we haven't, you know.
Yeah.
It's like Ronan the Accuser's ship was in there as well.
Yeah.
Guardians, and so I was like, okay, well, that's just like, yeah, what else we got? Have we
a shield helicarrier? You know, there was one of those. Kid Loki is drinking Ecto Cooler, which was a citrus drink tie-in for the real Ghostbusters cartoon from the 80s. And it was so popular, it lasted until 2001. I didn't know that.
What?
Yeah, lasted all that time.
Well done.
Yeah. And the vanity plate on the pizza car is a shout-out to Marvel writer and editor Mark Gruenwald, who created the TVA, and the character of Mobius was created to look like Mark. And then also the car looks like a shout-out to the Pizza Planet truck that has appeared in the Pixar movies.
Yes, when I saw the pizza car, there was I questioned whether that was a Pizza Planet nod or not.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Well, you got Lightning McQueen driving it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I wouldn't have minded when they've done the big spin around with the car to go back towards the Eliath cloud and Mobius has floored it. I wouldn't have minded a little bit of a ka-chow from him.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that was a bit too meta.
That would have been amazing, though. Well, we've only got one more episode to go, so I'm pretty pumped for it.
Yeah, I think I think I'm going to be happy. I'm trying to think of what they could do that would make me unhappy. And I can't think of what it could be. Even if it's not fully explained, I've just enjoyed the journey of the show. Episode 3 notwithstanding. And I feel there's going to be a lot. Let's also remember that this is a streaming service. And so how long will the episode be? Could be over an hour, who knows?
Yeah.
They're not really bound by time slots. So we could get a little bit more. And yeah, what will there be a post-credit stinger? It's safe to say there probably will be.
Yeah.
Whether they come back and adjust it in a couple of months' time because the trees aren't right, we will find out. But I'm excited for it. There's enough questions left to be answered. At the same time, I'm just happy to enjoy the journey of where the characters will end up as well. And, you know, all hail the one true king, Alligator Loki. But absolutely. I'm excited for where this ride is going to end up, and whatever the reveal of who's controlling everything will be, I think is going to be a fun surprise. You know, whether it's going to be satisfying for everybody is you know another question and another conversation. But quite clearly, they know where they're headed, and I think it's going to be a great finale. I'm quite happy to build up my expectations for this one.
And when you come back for the Black Widow podcast, I will tell you my theory that ties into this episode as well.
Can't wait to be continued.
Thank you to Rove for the fun deep dive. There's so much going on. You have to look up Thanos helicopter. It is glorious, and you'll be also surprised at how on the money it looks in that episode of Loki. Anyway, hilarious. He'll be back with our next episode on Monday night where we discuss Black Widow, and I bring something I learned from this episode of Loki to form a new theory on where this might all be going. By the way, we recorded this on a Saturday afternoon. I hadn't spoken to anyone, and I told Rove my theory, and he was a bit like, wow, where did that come from? And then at some point today while I was recording, I just checked my phone, got my Google app, and lo and behold, by algorithms, by random, by coincidence, there was a news article on a nerdy website that was suggesting the same thing, and I love it. I'm like, ooh. I'm not saying I'm being clever. I'm just saying I feel like I'm noticing the breadcrumbs that are being laid out for us. But anyway, that will all be on the next podcast. If you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe or leave a nice review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you use. Word of mouth is probably the best way to bring new people in to listen to this. So if you don't mind suggesting us or recommending us to anyone that you think would enjoy what we're doing over here, that would be really appreciated. As with all of the Loki episodes of this podcast, we've been finishing with specific Loki quotes. This one is from author Rick Riordan in his book, The Ship of the Dead. "A little secret, Magnus. There is no good and evil. There's only capable and incapable. I am capable." Until then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.